Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 271, part 1, Snares. Today is Friday, December 14th, 2012.
There must be some way out of here. Say the joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine. Plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now. The hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Tonight's message is entitled Snares. Now, I've ministered different messages on snares, and I think this would be a good time for another one. Tonight, let's look in on Psalm 91 and 3. He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Are we therefore beasts? The Bible says. Yes. Yes, we are. Look at the way we're acting now. Can we measure up to the scripture? Behold how they love one another? I don't think so. And we interrupt a wrestling match and they look up with veins popping. What did you say? I said, behold how they love one another. It's almost like it says in the Bible, wrestling the scriptures to their own destruction. And we see different ministries, TV ministries, not that they don't do that in the city, but we can see it on TV. Like wrestlers that climb into the ring. I don't know why they're wrestling. Maybe we're seeing Wild Christian Kingdom. You remember that show, The Wild Kingdom? Maybe that's what we're seeing right now, is Wild Christian Kingdom. Psalm 49 and 12 says, when a man was in honor, he understood not. What's honor? That's being humble. That's being meek. That's having a beggarly poor spirit, it says in the original Greek. a contrite heart, God will in no wise cast out. But it says, when a man was in honor, he understood not, was like the foolish beasts. And I think a lot of times we act like beasts. See, this man that the scripture is talking about is but a lodger for an hour and does not stay even the whole night. Even when he dwells, the Bible says, in fine places, his notice to quit is written out. It's already written out what his ticket's going to be. Because don't you know, the hero is but for an hour. The Bible says, he is like the beasts that perish, not like a sheep, but a hunted beast doomed to die. That's talking about the unsaved, but somehow in this age, the Christian can readily relate with that. But anyway, he lives a brutish life and dies, the Bible says, a brutish death. Wallowing, it says, in riches, living for pleasure, his own self-satisfaction. And I thought, isn't it too bad that such a noble creature should use his life so unworthily and end it so disgracefully? We see people all the time that are living their life in drugs, and I see people coming all the time. Beautiful people, intelligent people. People that could be leaders. And they live their whole life so unworthily, and they end up in disgrace. And I think a lot of times men in this world die like dogs. Well, no, I was living the dog's life. Till the Lord showed me and I got saved, I lived the dog's life. And I thought, why is it that man is so proud? Even now, the fowler is preparing a snare for you, even now. Don't ever get too puffed up. You think you know everything. You're listening on the radio to this tape. Even now, the fowler is preparing a snare for you, even now. But then, who are the fowlers? I believe the fowlers indeed are the worst, the wickedest, the cleverest, and the cruelest. Oh, the fowlers sound no horns. You can't hear them. They shoot their arrows from secret places at the innocent. Now we know the fowlers and we know the beast. But then what is the snare? Is the snare wealth? Is the snare being popular? Is the snare being number uno? Is the snare some kind of fame I'm talking about? Is it lust? Is it hate? Is it fear? What kind of a snare? Now, if Moses would have written this psalm, he might represent the follower as being, in this case, the king of Egypt, who sought to slay him. David probably would have called Saul the fowler. But I believe this psalm is applicable to all times. It is, of course, Satan the deceiver. Even you young people sitting right there, right now. There are snares being set for you. It says, the prince of the power of this world, the spirit which still warreth in the children of disobedience. Always attempting to destroy us. Oh, he's always the same. But now you know he is smoothly dressed in modern clothes. He doesn't persecute so much, but he attempts to persuade and to beguile, the Bible says. The snake, the serpent. Now, even now, he is linking worldliness with religion, humanism. And so you see, he would really make religion void. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ void, of none effect. And we're losing our effect by the preaching of other things outside of the gospel. Satan has moved in and set snares and traps through prosperity teachings, and we're so popular, but now who wants to preach them? Through the hyper-faith message, and now who will want to preach it? See, we're all going to have to come back, whether we like it or not, to the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the only message that will ever stand. That's the rock. All else is sinking sand. But under the cover of developing the great power of the gospel and bringing out secrets which have never been discovered. Oh, they're all kind of little secrets they have, like no sickness. Well, that's a secret to me because I've been sick on and off. Under the guise of no poverty, and Jesus says the poor will always be with you. Also, the poor will hear the gospel. And another secret, which I believe has never really been discovered, you're not going to find it in the Bible. No sorrow. Jesus was a man acquainted with grief and sorrow, acquainted with tribulation and trial and death. And so man complicates it. Satan is always the follower. Whatever his tactics may be, his object is always the same: to catch men in his net. Well, that's always his little bag, to catch you in his net. The Bible compares us to silly, weak birds that do not have enough skill to avoid the snare, and then not enough strength to escape it. But always Satan is the fowler. He has been so, and he will continue to be so. And if he does not attack as a roaring lion, roaring against us in persecution, he does it like the sneaky snake. And so all these words are very comforting to all believers. When temptation comes, listen, oh, hallelujah. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. And so first, a few words concerning the snare of the fowler, and secondly, the deliverance, and thirdly, the certainty of it. Dwelling then upon the word surely, for it is the diamond of the sentence. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Surely he will. Isn't that a good word? Doesn't that build your faith up? Well, that has got nothing to do with you. Surely, it means you're gonna fall into them little traps. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Why does it say that? Because he surely will. As surely as we fall into those snares that are set for us, as surely as also then will he deliver us. from the snares of the fowler. First then, the snare of the fowler. This scripture, of course, is loaded. He has many ways to destroy a soul. So tonight we will pass over probably two or three points connected with the fowler, talking about old Slewfoot, Satan. Now, I believe, number one, then, that the fowler's snare is intimately connected with secrecy. Surely, in vain is the net spread, I believe, in the sight of any bird. You aren't going to see it coming. And so the fowler carefully covers up his trap. Or, if it happens to be uncovered, he beguiles the bird with food and then traps him. Sort of like catching pigeons. Anybody here catch pigeons? Anybody? Ever? No one in here? I have. We used to get behind the grocery store over there and they'd have this feed out there and we'd have this little crate up and we'd have a stick on there and a string. Then we'd get back there and we'd pull on that string when the bird just followed the grain in there, and then we trap that bird in there, and we get them crowns and them princes in there. Whew. And so even if it is uncovered, the trap is out in the open, the bird will go for the feed. But anyway, when we do this, we stay hidden in the weeds. Satan, when he lays out his trap, whether it's out in the open or covered up with leaves or some kind of other covering, he hides. Hides off in the weed patch somewhere. When trapping, you know, you must hold a piece of dirt in front of your face so the breath will be covered up. I mean, the temptations of the world are like this secret kind to Christians. But then, you know, the wicked man knows the net, and even though that he knows it, before I was born again, he would run wildly into it. I knew that my downfall was alcohol. Now, and I promised myself, upon every hangover, every time that I indulged in some kind of drugs, I promised myself that I would never get into that thing again. And as soon as the trap was there and I seen the trap and I knew the trap, I'd run right into it just as fast as I could. I knew it because I had been trapped before. But you see, he grabs sin with both hands and hugs it greedily. Even though destruction is looking him square in the face, and up the net pulls tightly about him, and while we are still swinging in the net, we're planning the next time. Oh, next time I won't get caught. Looking for a fix before we even get out of the net. He commits a sin he knows is condemned even by the world laws. Over and over and over, he rushes into the same old net, same old sin. But you know, it's not so with the Christian. He is taken by secrecy. Oh, says one, if he were really convinced that this thing were wrong, I would quit it once. I mean, a little wine certainly can't hurt. And so they wrestle the scriptures over whether they can have a little wine or not. Oh, God, I wouldn't argue with anybody about wine. But the Bible says, if it makes your brother stumble, don't do it. In other words, give up that glass of wine for somebody else, an alcoholic. Are you hearing this word? And if you don't want to do it for a brother, then just lay under the spigot, open it up, and just until you blow up, who cares? That's not the point. That is not the point. Well, didn't God grow wheat? If God grew wheat, it must be good. Well, there's a bottle of poison up there. You know, well, it's there. It must be good. Go ahead and drink it. It's got crossbones on it. Drink it right down till it burns a hole right in your gut. Oh, silly weak birds. I mean, what harm just a little beer? I remember saying that. Oh, a glass of suds. And you watch on TV and they got the glass dripping down the sides, all frothy, huh? And it's dripping down, you know, huh? Praise God, for God's grace is sufficient to keep you away from that thing, even sufficient to take that desire away, not for yourself, but for someone else. I didn't say you're going to go to hell for drinking it. But it'll maybe lead someone else off into hell. Well, a guy says, if I were really sure, if I were perfectly persuaded, the net would snatch me up. But I don't think it'll snatch me up. Do you? I'll just walk over and stand in the middle of it. Whoop! Whoa! Sometimes we love to be tempted. Huh? Sometimes we love it. Even though we know we're going to get caught by that snare, we'll just stick a little tootser in there. And up that rope grabs and whoop, up in the air. You're swinging up there. Oh, golly, all I did was put one foot in it. What happened? Well, you've been that way 14 times. But if I really knew that, I wouldn't fly to that spot. I wouldn't go there. I wouldn't get into that disco. I wouldn't get into wine sipping. I wouldn't get into X-rated movies. And I wouldn't get into dirty joke crowds. And I'd never enter a kegger. Sometimes we think, well, we'll go to the kegger and we'll witness there. After all, who needs it more than people at, you know, party? What do we end up doing? Party. Young man called me and he says, you know, I have friends that are homosexuals and I know lesbian people and so on like that. And I hang around with them all the time because, you know, they can't help it. Well, I said, be careful of the snare. A couple of drinks and you may get hooked yourself. Even now, Satan has provided the homosexual community with their own disease. AIDS. I believe that's a way of bringing people in. Bible says all things are working together for good for them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. I believe God is going to turn that thing around. Same as He turned around my alcohol habit. And the drugs and things like that, okay? So is He also going to turn that whole thing around. There's no known cure for it. No, people. Now they're getting it. They go in and they get blood, and they just was on the radio. I heard it this morning. Someone had some, well, they said, well, we do take samples of the blood, but after that they give it. Well, why not take the sample before? Well, you know, take the check before they give it. So now there are some people out there running around that got transfusions because the, well, you know, we're going to take them, but, well, right now, we'll take them later, see. It's a matter of priorities, you know. Lunch or whatever. But anyway, the Christian says, I wouldn't approach there at all if I if I was sure it was going to be my destruction. No way. Oh, I thought how many there are who ask, may I go to this place or that place? Do you think it's all right for a Christian to do this or that? And I talked to a young man last week. We talked about it. Do you think it's okay? And I just love the way you received. And you asked me, you said, do you think it's all right for a Christian to go into where there's dancing and drinking because I like to dance? I said, no. You're just going in there and you'll get yourself tempted. Maybe you'll get mad or somebody be talking about, oh, look at the Christian community and all that. And you know, the old flesh will just give us an excuse to fall. Then you said, oh, all right. You notice I didn't say that send your soul to hell. But it is a snare. Oh, yeah, it is. May I go this place or that place or can I go here or there? And you tell somebody flat out no and you'll go to hell if you do. You know where they'll go? They'll go right down to that place. And sometimes when you answer people, they say, you know what you are? You're a fanatic. You're puritanical. But I'll tell you something, after you've heard as many stories as I have, from people who have attempted to keep their self together while flirting around with alcohol and with drugs and with half-wayedness. They come in and tell their sad, sad tales. One young man, I was up at the hospital and they had a post stuck into his upper part of his body and they had a, his friend was holding the post. It was a fence post. It was stuck right into his body. And here's this jagged post sticking in this man's body. Drunken driving. What a sad story. What sad tales. Whew. Well, after you hear a few of those, you'll say, to hell with the devil. All his little tricks, all his little traps. I have decided to follow Jesus and follow Jesus all the way. Listen, the healthiness of two things can never exist together. We must serve God all the way or evil all the way, one or the other. If God be God, serve Him. And if Baal be God, serve him, one or the other. Yeah, but I'm trying to persuade my friends. How am I going to persuade them? I mean, if I'm not with them, by not being with them. One or the other. Because many a man has been trapped into sin by Satan, not even knowing it's a sin. Oh, it's all right. All the businessmen do it. I've heard businessmen talk like that. It really isn't dishonest, you know. Well, you're trying to convince me or yourself. And you know what? It actually benefits people. Go ahead, I said, go ahead, sell that wheelbarrow without a wheel. And they say, well, then we can put on, the person that buys it can put on whatever size wheel that they want to. And you know what, Pastor? You can honestly charge them for the wheel of their choosing, and beside, God gets 10% of the added profit. And I say to them, my friend, can you actually, honestly call a wheelbarrow without a wheel in Jesus' name? And so the good and the easy man not opening both his eyes, I believe, but shutting one eye, shutting it just a little bit, fills his pockets in the dark But you know what he has? He has an uneasy feeling in his gut. Doesn't feel right about it. Every time we do something like that, all brothers and sisters, we get a gut ache. And so deeper and deeper he goes, conniving from one little deal to the next. And by and by, you know what he discovers? He discovers he's been led to act by act into the snare of the fowler. But oh, you say, how about our prosperity? Won't God get more? 10%, even 20, probably 30. A lot of ministry is like God is in business. And you're going to reap a return. Like, what's the interest rate? What's the going heavenly interest rate right now? They use the 30, 60, 90, and they put percentages on what they're going to get back. No, don't sell your soul so cheap. Don't sell your peace, and don't sell your joy and righteousness in the Holy Ghost, because that's what you reap. If you're to be rich, well then beware of the fowler and do it honestly or die broke and happy. And so now God must punish the Christian. And so many times Christians are snared by secret sins. Smooth talkers who make it look tasteful. Now if the devil comes to our houses with horns and a tail and red flannel underwear, we won't let him in. But you know, if he comes all dressed up and clean and smiling and quoting scriptures with a question. Did God really say that questions? We say, welcome, come on in. And so many are taken in by an evil thing because it looks clean and shiny and nice. Then he thinks in his heart, there can't be much harm, and it looks so good. And so he lets in a few drops, and it finally becomes a flood that will carry him away. He gets carried away with it. And so this small beginning has a big and awful end. And so look now, Christians, of all things that are secret, just look at all those things that are secret. No, they're secret things we have. The world has nothing else. But you see, we have a better life. No, don't judge them. Don't judge the world. The Bible says, for they're under judgment already, but don't join them either. There is a popular saying, if you can't fight them, join them. No, you cannot live in the asphalt jungle. You'll die there. See, there is no immunity shots for you. You'll get a reaction every time. You are twice born. You are born again. And remember, surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. And so let's go on. The snare of the fowler then is generally noted for its adaptation. The fowler, in other words, doesn't set the same trap for everybody. Birds are different. Different habits, different desires, different temperaments, different songs, different chirps, different flight patterns, different tastes. I mean to say an eagle and a chicken and a duck and a pigeon and a canary and a crow and a goony bird are different. Isn't that right? And so their bait has got to be a little bit different. Their eating habits and their food is different. One man the fowler tempts to drunkenness. And perhaps that would naturally be his sin if he left with no grace to ward it off. Another gluttony snares, another bestial habit snares. Another would be a man or a woman snares, another family first snares. I wonder how many you listening on the radio, and I know that we're getting calls in here, the ministry is controversial now because it's ministering the grace and the forgiveness and the mercy during a time of bash them up, throw them down, pin them.
That was episode 271, part 1, Snares. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command. Women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be a state trooper. It might be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor. You may be blind or lame. Maybe living in another country under another name. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns. And you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop. You may know how to cut hair. You may be somebody's mistress. Maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil. Maybe the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk. Might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk. Might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, you may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ. You may call me Ray. You may call me anything. No matter what you say, it's still serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.